Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And also with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Well, I'm glad this worked out. We had a baptism today, and we had that hymn. And neither one I knew about, but it all works perfectly, because today we're going to talk about having Easter in December. You know, well, I know that sounds weird, but sometimes we have Christmas in July. I remember a church in Omaha, Nebraska. We were there for a conference, and they had Christmas in July. We've done that before, but they did it. I mean, to the hilt. They trucked in snow outside. They turned the air conditioning down. They had Christmas trees. Everybody wore their ugly Christmas sweaters in July, which was interesting in Nebraska. It was kind of different. But we want to talk today about having Easter in December. Now, Easter is a little different than Christmas. We don't have Easter. Well, men don't wear dress up for Easter usually, do you, Pastor Rick? You have an Easter outfit?
Right.
Right. Okay. That's my point.
Okay.
But anyway, when you think about when you celebrate a birthday of someone, and maybe they get up in years like me, we don't just talk about the day they're born when you're on their birthday, right? You think about all the other years and how God has blessed them and go through their whole life and just different things about their life, right? Don't just focus only on a baby. But yet when we talk about Jesus' birthday, that seems like what we do, that we keep Jesus in that manger. You know, he's a cute little baby in a manger. That's not all what Christmas is, right? This baby was born to die, and not only die, but rise again. And so the gift of Christmas is not just a baby. It's a whole lot more. So we celebrate Jesus' birth. Let's also remember his life, all his life, which Mary, did you know, talks about, asking the question, Mary, did you know he's going to walk on water? Did you know he's going to raise the dead? That those who couldn't walk were going to walk again? Did you know all that? Well, I think she did, because it says in the Christmas story that Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. So she meditated all this, who this baby really is. And the wise men that came later knew who that baby was, because what kind of gifts did they give? Gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts fit for a king, for someone who would die for the sins of the world. So, having said all that, we'll talk about Easter in December. Now, we talk about dreaming of a white Christmas and all the sentimentality of Christmas. I'm going back to Illinois, and I'm not dreaming of a white Christmas. Sorry, Tim, I'm not. After having 2 inches of ice a couple days ago, a terrible ice storm, a high of 5 degrees above today, and I get to be there Thursday. Oh, boy. I'm not dreaming of that white Christmas at all. But anyway, they had a very warm fall. In fact, this family friend, she had an Easter lily that was blooming in November. Well, it's gone now. It's not blooming now. But I thought that's how interesting how that was. You had an Easter lily in Illinois in November blooming. Well, today we want to talk about Easter in December, because this text, and Daryl, I'm glad you're here, because I talked a lot about you last night. I bet your ears were burning, because I mentioned a lot about you, because Daryl, if you don't know, his middle name is Romans.
Right.
Because he always... I remember Catherine, when she was coming to our church, says, why does that guy always talk about this one book of the Bible? Well, it's a very important book. In fact, I have a professor I've talked about before that pounded this word of Romans into our minds and our hearts, so that I can hear his voice even now, pounding this in, especially this chapter. By the way, is my microphone working? Is it okay? Good. I can't tell up here, so I'm glad to hear that. All right. So let's go dig into this great text. And Daryl, if you want to bring up anything at all, you go right ahead, because it's changed his life. This book has changed his life, as well as Luther and Charles Wesley, and many have been warmed and encouraged and their faith strengthened through this scripture. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old sinful self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. let's unpack that, because there's a lot that talks about here. First of all, it doesn't mean we just live any way we want to, because we got grace now. And Pastor, how sad it is that you talk about many churches preach that very thing that Paul's preaching against here. They don't talk about sanctification, living a God-glorifying life, God-fearing life. When's the last time you've heard someone be described as a God-fearing man? You think about that in generations of the past. You'd hear that a lot about people, right? Our parents or grandparents, well, he was a really God-fearing man or woman. We don't talk about that anymore. How sad is that? That description is very rarely used anymore, a God-fearing person. Has it gone away? Well, no, we are called to fear God in the right sense, respect Him, have awe and respect for our God, and love our Lord so that we don't want to displease Him. But anyway, in seminary, we had all these professors that talked a lot about justification through faith, because that the Lutherans got that down, right? That we're justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, that's the motto of the Lutheran Church. But a lot of our professors did not want to talk about sanctification at all. They said, well, just go and sin boldly. They like that quote of Luther, but not about that we should live and represent Jesus and live a godly life. Except for this one professor I talk about who taught Romans. He didn't wear a collar. He wore this suit all the time, and he was a short, stocky guy, and he would just go into this, into Romans, and he'd go off like into heaven in a trance when he was preaching this and teaching this. And it was just like Daryl. I mean, it just changed his life. And he wanted to kind of wake up the seminary, the faculty, because he said, we got to be more like godly men. We got to be on the fire for Jesus. Bless you. And so he wanted to give a blessing through Romans. So let's unpack it. Because there's a lot here. It says, we died to sin, so how can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized, all you kids just got baptized, all you were baptized into Christ were buried, baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. All right. So I was going to bring the whiteboard out, but I'm not going to. Just imagine a whiteboard, big whiteboard, huge whiteboard, that has a big cross drawn to it. Okay, so there's a cross here, and you've got baptism here, and suppose, and just imagine you got this cross here, and then you've got a picture of a tomb in here where Jesus was buried. Okay, so what happens, according to this text, is that when we were baptized, somehow, in a mystical union we can't understand, our old sinful self was connected through with our baptism to that cross right here. So in baptism, this is a connector to connect us to Jesus' death. When I go back to Illinois, I always complain about it. I don't have connectivity with my laptop and my phone. I'll be having it and I'll lose it. Well, I got a cup last night at a Christmas party. It says, God is our wireless connector. Well, I hope that he'll help me with my laptop and my phone. But here he connects it. This is a connector. Baptism doesn't save us, but it is a connector that connects us to Jesus. So when we're baptized, couple thousand years after Jesus, right? Mystical, in a mystical union, a supernatural way, our sinful selves were nailed to the cross of Jesus, to this cross, right? So when Jesus died, you died. When Jesus died, I died. That nasty old sinful nature was nailed to the cross. So we need to believe that. We'll talk about that later. But not only that, when we were baptized, not only were we connected to that cross on this imaginary whiteboard, but we were connected to his burial. So we're in the tomb with Jesus. So when he was buried, your sinful self was buried. And Luther says, give it a good burial, our old sinful man, and drown it, squash it, bury it every day, right? Because we talk about, not we don't, but a lot of churches talk about, you got to be a good Christian, you got to work harder, and you got to try harder, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Daryl, does it help trying to work harder, be a good Christian, to be sober on your own efforts? How'd that work for you when you did that? He put it to death. You couldn't put it to death in 3 days. Just like Jesus, 3 days in the tomb. Mm-hmm. So, in baptism, we are connected to Jesus' burial. So, there was one pastor who was really struggling with a sinful life, and he wanted to be better, and he because I'm a pastor. I shouldn't be having these thoughts. I shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. And finally, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, talked to him in a dream and says, stop it. Stop trying so hard. Even though you're a pastor, you're still a sinner, but you're my child. Let me work through you. And then everybody noticed this change of like a revival in his heart. It was a new life, a total new life, like with your dad. Total new life with you, Daryl. A lot of us. You know, you remember what it was like, right? When you went from this way to that way, and it's like a whole new world and whole new life for you and you, Hector, and all of us that have been changed, right? It's just total change. And it's connecting with Jesus' death, his burial, but not only that, his resurrection. That's why we have Easter in December. So, our baptism, somehow, we were connected in baptism, go all the way back, and there we are in an empty tomb, and there's no Jesus. The tomb is empty, and Jesus is standing outside, and we're there. So we sing, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when he was buried? Were you there when he was raised from the dead? Yes, we were. Believe that somehow, according to Romans, you were baptized into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And because of that fact, that makes Christmas the meaning it has, because this child was born to die and rise again, and you too. So Christmas, Merry Christmas is, we have the joy that we don't have to live our old life anymore. In self-recovery, we have new life. We have new life to give to people. We have new life to offer them, to tell them, to share, to show them, show and tell what Jesus has done in our lives, and let that light shine. Because it's not about us. The whole thing of Romans is, don't try to do the church thing. Don't try to do the God thing on your own power. God will give you what, that's what grace is. It's enabling you to do what you can't do on your own. We can't save ourselves. We can, but more than that, we don't just need grace to be saved. We need grace to live. We can't live the Christian life. At least I can't. A lot of us, it didn't work so good trying to try harder. The law does not work. It's like a coach yelling and screaming at the Cardinals or the Rams. You got to do this, you got to do that. Unless you have the, or the Suns, you got these young players that are high school kids, just barely out of high school, yelling and screaming at them is not going to change them. They need more players, more talent. But they need a couple substitutes to come in with some experience. Jesus is our substitute. He came in and took our place. So let him do it. The exchanged life, this is not fair for God, but it's a great deal for us. We give him our sins, our failures, our weaknesses, our depression, our illnesses, all that junk we give to him. And what does he give us? Righteousness, forgiveness, grace, hope, joy, peace, on and on, faith. It's all a gift. Everything comes from him. Everything. We're just stewards. Everything we have, everything we are, is because of him, because we're God's children. So baptism connects us to his death, his burial, his resurrection. And now Paul says, because of that, live in it. Believe it and live in it. So let's continue on. So if we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who's died has been freed from sin. Remember those of you that were in addictions, when you were a slave to your addictions. It ran your life. It dictated what you did in the morning, what you did at night. The holidays. What's so sad to me is that holy days have been turned into holidays. Drunkenness. We have to have cops working extra hours and checkpoints all over the place because so many people are driving drunk and high because they think that's what the holiday is. No, it's a holy day, right? It's not a holiday for you to get drunk. Mm-hmm. It's a time to reflect. And that's another thing. When's the last time we talked about holy days? It's all holidays. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And the merriment means in Jesus Christ. He gives us the joy, right? Our spirits are lifted up with not drinking spirits, but drinking the Holy Spirit, right? So because of all that, we're no longer slaves to sin. He says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. So you live with Christ. He lives, you live. Because I live, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, we sing, right? For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Now this is the key. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's logistestai is the Greek word. We get the word logic, logically analyzing, right? It's an accounting term. It's an accounting term. How about that, Robin? An accounting term of the Bible. It says, it literally means reckon yourself, account yourselves dead to sin. So when you put it in the books, write yourself, write it off. Just write it off as a sinner. But also write it on the positive side of the ledger as an asset, all that Jesus has done. So reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. So if we can, so here's the deal. It's very practical. If we're trying to be better, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Stop that. Look it inward, right, Daryl, and look upward. And believe that you're a child of God. Believe, I am a child of God. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And because of that, I have new life. You start thinking that, a new way of thinking, right, Tim? You taught that course way back, the battlefield of the mind, with new thoughts based on the risen Christ. Reckon, consider yourself dead to sin but alive to God. Then we'll start living that way. And believe that you have the power in Jesus of Jesus in you to overcome that sin and win, to win over sin. That's the whole... What? Absolutely, he helps you believe it and do it because it's not our power. It's like we don't have the power to do it. So the whole point is live like this. And then he says, then do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies to obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. So here's another key. For sin shall not be your master because you are not under law but under grace. Or another text or translation says, for sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law but under grace. Law wakes us up. It shows us we're saved or a sinner. We need that. Some churches don't preach any law at all. But that doesn't have the power. This nagging at kids, does that change their life? Does that work real well, nagging over and over? Don't do that. Stop it. You're not doing that. On and on and on. Whether it be to a spouse or a kid, that after a while, all right. I want to hear that. And we don't have the power to change. You shouldn't be. Why do you keep doing that? Well, if I knew, I could change. The power is in Jesus coming in, and he becomes the life for us. So all this in Romans 6 is talking about living the new life, being connected to the risen Christ, right? And living that way and believing that way and the change. And all that the rest of Romans, all that he says and writes here is in a formula when he says in Christ. After this, for those who are in Christ, he goes on and on. That's a formula of all that he talked about here, of baptism connected with Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection. So instead of repeating this over and over again, he just says, in Christ. But we don't get that. We just skim over in Christ. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's an intimate connection. And he said, if the vine is disconnected from the branches, there's no life anymore for us, right? We have to remain in me, and I will remain in you. So that's that intimate connection with Jesus, the exchanged life. His life becomes our life. We become intimate with Jesus in this mystical union inside. Where is Jesus? Where does he live? He's in heaven, but he's also in our hearts, right? But we forget that, and we go out into the world, and we kind of start the day thinking, I got to do this, and I got to do that. Daryl, anything you want to share on Romans 6? Because you'll have your chance Romans 7 and 8 later, I know. The Holy Spirit's the one connects us from our baptism into Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, because we're baptized in the Holy Spirit as well as in Jesus. We are born again. And that's right. I remember my kids used to get mad at me because I get so upset at all these secular Christmas carols. Silver bells. And they just reminded me, and they started mocking me last week because I used to just make fun of these stupid Christmas carols and rocking around the Christmas tree, and Grandma got run over by a reindeer and all this. Drove me nuts, and my kids would love it. Go, Dad, we want to listen. I go, no, that's not what it's about. And now give me Hark the Herald Angels Sing, where it says, hail the veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Now that's some good words there about real Christmas, that Jesus is God and man together. And when he died on the cross, Jesus, the Savior and the Lord, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. So, having said all this, we talk about Christmas, we talk about birthdays. Remember who this Jesus is, that he died, he was born to die, and he rose again, and he's with us, and he's in you. He's in you. So access that Jesus power inside you through this Romans 6, right? Because don't try to live it on your own. I can't do it. We can't do it in the CR, right? We realize life's become unmanageable. We don't have the power. We are powerless, and he gives us the power. He gives us a lot of power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, is in you and me. But why don't we live that way? Why don't we have church and worship that way and go out and witness that way in that power? Well, sometimes we do because people get healed of cancer when we access that power, right? Like your dad. And so we say thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.